from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. It's all good vibes today. Sacramento Kings pulled off a gigantic trade this weekend. Little 3-team swap, and to break this down, we're bringing in Kings legend Jerry Reynolds. Jerry, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I just love this 110 degree heat. You know, I try to go out and jog about 10 miles in it. It's just gorgeous. You know,
your weight down.
Oh boy, that's depressing. Yeah, I can go out early in the morning and late in the evening for about 10 minutes, and that's about it.
I know. It's so incredibly hot, and I was worried about that. Like, when DeMar DeRozan, like, hopped off the plane, you know, just the heat slaps you in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hot everywhere. I know it's 90 up in Tahoe, you know, and oof. I mean, it's like, you know, of course, it's always kind of like 20 degree difference. But when it gets 105, 110 there, well, yeah, it's 85, 90 there. It's just about always the way it is.
I've always thought, though, when you go to Tahoe and it's hot, it feels way hotter than it does here. It feels like because you're at such a high elevation that you're just closer to the sun or something.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. I've always thought that. And I think it's true. You know, you're a few thousand feet closer to the sun. I mean, I think the real advantage there, even on hot days, it's almost always cool in the mornings and things like that. You know, I mean, they'll still get down to 48 or so in the,
oh, that's
in
nice.
The morning. So I mean, but... Still hot, though.
Yeah, I mean, lately we've been looking at the clock, trying to turn on the whole house fan, and it's like 97 degrees at like 9:15. It's like, yeah, that's...
It doesn't do you any good. No, we do the same thing. I turn it on and just, you know, hope it'll cool the house down for an hour or so, enough to where I won't have to run air conditioning.
Yeah. So, Jerry, the Kings made a huge, massive deal this weekend, and we started talking about it right before we went to the break, but... where are you at with this? Because, you know, they took a gamble here. This is a guy who is a little bit older, but who maybe fits a timeline, the timeline of now, mm-hmm. In DeMar DeRozan. And I mean, how big of a surprise was it for you that this was a guy they circled and kind of went after?
A little bit of a surprise. You know, I thought it would probably be, you know, about all the rumors, whether it's the bigger guys, and certainly there's still maybe a need there. But I love DeRozan. You know, the guy's a baller. I mean, he'll play 75 games a year. You know, he's a lot like Harrison Barnes, quite honestly, a little more gifted offensively. But I mean, he's a guy that comes to play and fits right in with guys the Kings have who don't miss games unless they're really, really hurt. And he's a clutch guy. I mean, he's a guy down the stretch of games you can go to. He can get your shots, get to the line, especially something the Kings didn't have. A guy can get to the line against good defenders. And, I think, you know, my opinion is the Kings are a better team today than they were a week ago. and they have a chance, even if they don't do anything, to be probably better offensively than they were a year ago, when they were at the peak of offense. They would be small, but they'll really be able to score.
Yeah, I totally agree. When you look at this team, one of the missing ingredients was that second or third playmaker, the guy that can go get a shot for himself. And DeRozan has proven throughout his career, I mean, it's 11 straight seasons over 20 points per game. I mean, I think the only one that I can remember like that you tout that in Sacramento is Mitch Richmond, mm-hmm. who had all those 20 point per game seasons in a row. This is a guy that is an ISO player, though. And I think sometimes having someone who's a little different than the rest of the group that does something different, that plays different, can actually help you in a lot of situations.
Don't disagree with that. I think that, you know, the Kings can use a little of that. You know, like you say, sometimes he is a little bit of an ISO guy, but he's a guy who can ISO and produce. He's not just a ball stopper. I mean, he can go get baskets and free throws. And I think the overall style that Mike Brown has, and certainly the way he utilizes Domas, I think will benefit DeRozan. I think he's not going to score as much, but he's going to get his points easier because he'll cut. You know, he's a guy who'll move without the ball because he's a hungry scorer.
Yeah.
But like I say, I think I've always liked about him is, his career, boy, down the stretch of games, he'll gladly take and make big shots, big plays.
Yeah, I think last season he led the league in fourth quarter scoring, and De'Aaron Fox, I believe, was second.
Mm-hmm.
And so you now have two of the best fourth quarter scorers in the league, and you have Malik Monk as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we're counting on it. I think he can, and improving Keegan Murray. Mm. You know, I mean, Domas is Domas. So, you know, the thing with him is he doesn't really care if he scores. So, probably he'll be the guy that sacrifices offense a little bit. Instead of getting 20 points on 12 shots, he'll probably get 17 on 10.
Yeah.
I mean, and those opportunities go to some other guys, you know, which as long as it goes up on the scoreboard, who cares?
No, I totally agree with that. What do you think about the spacing issue? Do you think that there's going to be a big spacing issue, or do you think because of Domas's passing ability, DeRozan's ability to move off the ball, the three-point shooters that you already have on the roster, whether it's Monk and, again, Keegan, De'Aaron, Keon Ellis, Trey Lyles, all these three-point shooters that maybe can keep the spacing there, or do you think that they're going to have problems?
I really don't think they'll have too many problems. Now, you know, the thing with DeRozan, he was just a non-shooter from three-point range for years. If you look at the numbers, he's taken more and making more these last few years. And what he is good is from the corner, the short corner ones. Well, and those will probably be there for him. And there again, that's where Domas comes in because he'll find him there. I'm not saying it won't be a problem, but it'd be, I think, a very minor one.
You know, there are players that as they age, the three-point shot, specifically the corner three, becomes more and more prevalent in their game. Guys like, I remember, like Jason Kidd was never a three-point shooter.
Right.
And then he finished his career, number three in three-point makes before all these other guys have passed him. Guys like Vince Carter, who mm-hmm. were, straight-up jump shooters for a huge percentage of their career and then developed as three-point shooters. Do you think there is a way that he becomes a guy who maybe takes 5-6 threes a game as opposed to the 3-point-something threes per game that he takes now as just like a catch-and-shoot guy in certain offensive sets?
I think it's very possible. I mean, one thing, I think he could become he's becoming a better three-point shooter, and I think that'll get better. When you look at it, he's a terrific free-throw shooter. Mm-hmm. So he's got the easy stroke. And I always say the difference between free throws and three-point shots is legs, just more leg into it. And he's enough of a threat, he'll get people backing off of him. So, even though he's 34, and generally speaking, you don't see a lot of great changes in players, after 27 or 8, really. But I think, when it comes to shooting, as you pointed, a great example, Jason Kidd, got better into his 30s.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I'm old enough to remember Magic Johnson the same way. He was a non-shooter and became a good three-point shooter, in his 30s.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it's I always say it's a fundamental skill, and fundamental skills can be taught. And especially if a guy's a good free throw shooter, it's an easy adjustment. You know, I mean, I go way back to Eddie Johnson in the early days. It didn't even nobody shot threes, but he was such a great free throw shooter. When it became more prevalent, it was a, oh, okay, I'll just move back a little bit, get a little more push.
Okay. Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah, I think it's great. And, you know, you bring up the free throws. DeRozan, 7.7 attempts per game last year. The last 4 years, he's over 7 attempts per game. 88%, 87.7, 87.2, 85.3. If there's one thing the Kings, it cost them multiple games last year. Mm-hmm. Just missing free throws cost them at least 5 games. They talk about it all the time, where they think they just on games that they blew on missed free throws, they could have been a 51-win team. And now you have a guy who not only is he a closer, but he's a closer who hits his clutch free throws. How big of an advantage is that to have a guy that not only hits them, but takes a ton of them, can get to the line, can slow the game down, especially when you're going at a frenetic pace and maybe you need somebody that gets to the line and slows things down for a minute?
Yeah, you know, and when you know, for those of us who love the game and follow it, like you, I know you do, I mean, so many games are won in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it truly is the NBA. And ability to get to the line is a key, and more of a key is to make them. And he does both of those things. And then the other advantage that he brings, I don't think many people mention, the guy that gets to the line regular also gets the team into penalty quicker. And so it gets more free throws for other guys who have done maybe squat to develop to deserve it. But he is one of those guys who will get free throws for his teammates because he's going to get you in a penalty sooner.
That's an interesting thought. I never thought about that, how, because we always think about it the other way. The guy who comes in and gets 3 quick fouls, that fouls everybody. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he gets the team in the penalty.
Exactly. It works. It's exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes and sits down for after his 3 minutes of horrid play, and then everyone else has to deal with the fact that he got 3 fouls really quick.
Yeah, that's so. Another advantage. You know, I mean, Duarte won't be putting other teams in penalties so quick.
That's true.
at least here.
Yeah, no, that's true. He will in Chicago. All right, we're going to step aside. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more Jerry Reynolds here on the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you in just a minute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We are hanging out, talking DeMar DeRozan all day long. We've got Jerry Reynolds in studio. Jerry, this is one of those moments where I think we don't know how it's going to work out, so I don't want to instantly just make the claim, but Is this one of the biggest free agent signings? I mean, we can talk about sign and trade versus, like, that was the discussion we had. Jason Anderson and Sean and I were sitting around, like, is this a true signing, free agent signing, or is it a sign and trade? If we call it a sign and trade, do we have to add Brad Miller into the conversation? If not, is it just Vlade Divac and Malik Monk and maybe George Hill and this? Like, how do you look at that? Like, is this for you one of the better free agent signings, or is it not really feel that way to you?
Well, to me, it's a sign and trade. I mean, because that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and like Brad Miller was a sign and trade. Yep. I mean, they were going to be, but you had to get them. You had to work out a sign and trade, and that's very different than Malik Monk, where you give up nothing but a contract.
Yeah.
Or Vlade, nothing but a contract. You'd have to give up players or future picks or anything. Those are free agents.
Yeah.
And I would say that's the key, is get free agents and not lose your free agents. I've always said it's a mistake to lose Bogey for nothing, because he's a really good player.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you got – and he – you know, you lost him for nothing.
Yeah, Bogdanovich. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That to me, yeah. Monty McNair started his career.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a very difficult decision he had to make on the fly. He inherited a situation, a restricted free agent who got like a 4-year, $72 million contract?
Something like that. You know, at the time, people would say, well, that's probably more than Bogey's worth. And I said, yeah, probably is. Now, today it's not. But, you know, as the things have went, but I would agree, yeah, that's what you do with free agents.
Yeah.
You overpay them to get them.
That's true. And he keeps getting overpaid to do it. Like, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. But the reason I always say that, if somebody's willing to overpay him, that means they have value.
No, that's true. Yeah, if you think your house is worth $5 million, but the only offer you can get is $2 million, then you have a $2 million house.
Exactly.
But it works the opposite.
If
you think you got a $2 million house, but someone offers you $5 million, hey, Till, you got a $5 million house.
Well, you know, it's like with Vlade. When he was signed, there were a lot of people saying, well, he's not worth $60 million.
Yeah.
Well, at that time, there was some concern that he might not be, but he clearly was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great signing. Kings did overpay at that time to get Vlade because they had the money. And it's only, you know, easy for us to say only money, but in the NBA, that's really the way you look at it. And so Vlade has the most money he could get as a free agent. And so those Sacramento Kings, now I always say, where people say, well, so you Kings can't get free agents. Sure they can if they overpay, just like every other team does.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about.
But there's a lot of times where you don't have money.
And you can't get them. Right.
Yeah,
and you can always go over the cap to sign your own free agents. A lot of fans don't, I think, sometimes get confused there. You can't go over the cap, sign somebody else's.
Yes, exactly. You have to have the space to do it.
Yeah.
And again, the Kings were a cap space team last summer. They're never going to be a cap space. It's going to be 5 years at least, maybe 7, 8 before they're a cap space team.
Yeah, just the exceptions. That's what you're going to have to work with.
Yeah, exceptions and then trades. Mm-hmm. And even bringing Harrison Barnes back, people have to understand. Like, the reason why you bring Harrison Barnes back, he played for you for one season of his 3-year deal. but it was so you had an $18 million contract to trade in case something came up like this. He's a placeholder.
And he's an asset.
Yes, he was an asset.
You know, whether fans thought he was worth that, some did, some didn't. I thought he's worth the contract because I thought for sure he's a guy who other teams see as a player.
Yeah.
That they could fit. May not be the third or fourth best player. It might be the seventh or eighth. But in today's world, that's a clear asset.
Yeah, I totally agree. Where do you put DeRozan? If you look at this roster today, is he your third best player? And if he is your third best player, what does that do to everybody else? And how good does that feel that you just got a guy that you might consider a third or fourth? And all of a sudden, guys that maybe were out of position as a third or a fourth are now a fourth or a fifth.
Well, I'll say this. If he's your third best, you're pretty darn good. You know, I mean, he's a potential Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 5-6-time All-Star. You know, and I would say that would probably be true. He would be viewed as your third best player. Offensively, he certainly would be your first or second.
Yeah.
That's the way to look at it to me. It's like when you look at this move, sign and trade, who got the best player in all of it? Well, the Kings did.
Yeah.
And this is a league of quality, not quantity, you know. So, I mean, it's get as much quality as you can. Don't worry about the quantity. You can always get those guys.
Yeah, unless you're the Boston Celtics and you just have both. You have a bunch of quantity and quality, and it's all the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, every guy you bring in is just better, and you're like, oh, look at that.
Well, I mean, there's a case, too, where, you know, obviously good coaching, but Brad Stevens is moved into the upper echelon in the front office because his acquisitions and drafts and different things and trades have all been on point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, do you get a Derek or a White trade, that guy's terrific. You know, I mean, I'm convinced if Pop knew he was that good, he would still be there with the team they got.
Yeah, no, very true. I mean, he would look really good with that team, although, you know, an aging veteran, although it seems like they're trying to do that around Victor Wembanyama. So let's get back to this question, though. Do you think this is like one of the better additions that the Kings have ever made? Like when you look at, again, I think trading for Chris Webber, a true trade, I don't consider this a true trade. It's a sign and trade, right?
Right.
So you got the Vlade addition. You have probably, again, we can throw in the Brad Miller, which was what, Hedo Turkoglu to the Spurs and Scott Pollard to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a three team. There's someone else. Oh, no, that was a three team, but I think there are other players that moved.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you kind of put this one? And, I know you lose a lot when you lose a player like a person like Harrison Barnes, but everything I hear about DeMar DeRozan is like he's one of those guys as well. He's a locker room guy, community guy, really, really, really good with the media. I like San Antonio guys are here because of the California Classic. He's never said no from those guys. They say he's one of the best interviews you're going to run into. But where do you think this puts in sort of the hierarchy of all the Kings' moves forever? This is a big one.
Oh, it's a big one. It'd be right at the top of any list, however you want to do it. You know, if you count a sign and trade, I'd say it's probably a little better than the Brad Miller one.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad worked out well, but you really gave up a young star type in Hedo.
Yes.
And so that wasn't, you know, we all kind of knew that, but you really needed a guy like Brad Miller at the time, you know, to keep you a competitive team. And so, but in this case, well, you really didn't have to give up, you know, young stars. You know, you gave up a good player to get a all-star level player.
Yeah.
So I'd put this as the best sign in trade. And then, you know, certainly trades. Then, of course, there's two. I mean, Webber and Richmond are the two best trades ever.
Yep.
And I think the best clear free agent, of course, is Vlade.
Yeah. Boy, it's interesting. We can put all of these in different categories and just like look at them in different ways. I think like the Mike Bibby trade isn't that far below the Webber trade. The ability to re-sign guys. It's funny. The other thing. I think it's interesting. When Malik had his press conference on Saturday, Why is it that you think the perception of Sacramento and then the reality of once people get here is so different? Because, you know what I mean? For years and years, it seems like guys, oh, you don't want to go to, it's an outpost, it's an outpost. Mm-hmm. And then they get here and they're like, oh, no, this is my town now.
Yeah, you know, that's always, I think it's always been the case a little bit, you know, where I think it's brought on by the national media to where they, you know, treat Sacramento and you know, the smaller markets, Utah, like, well, nobody wants to go there, and everybody or Portland, they're all going to want that sort of thing, which has never been true, you know, with a lot of players. I mean, and certainly here in particular, guys get here and they love it. They don't want to leave. I've certainly been involved with guys who were traded that just broke down and cried because they didn't want to go. I always remember Ed Pinckney being traded to Boston, part of the Danny Ainge deal. And he, you know, he was just broke down in tears. It's really hard, you know, and going to Boston, a championship contender.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to be here. And so yeah, I think the media does that. And sometimes fans buy into it a little bit. For the most part, players, once they're here, they love it generally and like it a lot. And a lot of them stay around. And then secondly, people say, well, you know, and a lot of it goes back, I think, to the fact that there were periods of time when the ownership really didn't have any money. And so guys almost had to leave it, or wouldn't come because they weren't going to be willing to pay a free agent or overpay. And so that made it look different than it really was. So that's why I say a guy like Malik Monk, well, he financially got a good solid deal for himself and the team got a good solid deal, and he's happy here. He wants to start. Don't blame him. He's got every right to want to do that, and certainly good enough to do that. But yeah, and people now, I mean, reading about Fox wanting to wait a little bit to talk about an extension, and it's like, you know, immediately everybody, well, Fox wants out. Well, no, I don't believe that. He's been extremely smart. He's betting on himself and seeing where the team, well, that's exactly what he should do.
No, I agree.
If I were his agent or his father, that's what I'd tell him to do.
Heck yeah. And makes a lot more money if he makes All-NBA this year. His contract, like the parameters go up and skyrocket. But I also, if I'm De'Aaron Fox, I want to know that a DeMar DeRozan is coming, that maybe someone else is coming too, that you're going to be able to pay Malik Monk and keep him here, and that you're going to be able to build the team around us that, you know, that will get him to the next step in his career. So, all right, we're going to step aside for one more break. You're listening to The Insiders on ESPN 1320. We got Jerry Reynolds in studio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back in. Kyle Madsen is not with me today on the air. He will be on from 12 to 4 today, filling in for Damian and Kenny, D'Lo and KC, here on ESPN 1320. And instead of just me going solo or just me and Jesse, we decided to bring in Kings legend Jerry Reynolds. Jerry, how are you holding up over there?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Popcorn's good. Water's clean.
Life can't get any better than a little bowl of popcorn and water.
That's right. Sacramento Kings made this big move for DeMar DeRozan, but they still have, it feels like they still have more room to play here. That they've still, I mean, it gets a little complicated with the hard cap situation, but they do have, players that they can trade. They have players that are available, maybe out there on the market. If you're Monty McNair, are you done?
No, I wouldn't be. I'm sure I can't speak for him. Obviously, he does a great job, but I certainly think his team could use more size, especially at the, you know, 4-5 combo kind of players. And you know, there's guys out there that might be available that maybe you could get via trade. Obviously, the mid-level exception, probably you can't maybe get the kind of guy that you really wanted. I had a kind of a little man crush on Jalen Smith even though that was signed. And I think he was a risk, but, you know, a nice athletic young big that might be on the way up, just like we talked about Naz Reid a couple of years ago. You know, catch the guys on the at the right time, know what your eyes tell you. And I thought, you know, he might have been a good one, and, you know, signed for $9 million, so you could have got him in the mid-level maybe.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't think offhand, I'm not sure there's any more guys out there that certainly that I know about. I'm sure they do. But other than that, I think it's trades, you know, looking at the usual suspects, I guess Kuzma and John Collins are a couple guys out there that are still maybe in the works. I seriously doubt Markkanen is for the Kings, but I don't know.
Yeah, the Markkanen situation, it's super complicated. Like, that's everything that I hear. Not only does Danny Ainge want all kinds of things for Lauri Markkanen, but there's also the potential for him. Like, I've heard he wants to test free agency. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to trade for a guy like that, that's a huge risk, especially if you're paying premium to get him. You're talking probably 3 first-round picks and maybe a pick swap or two. And then all of a sudden that gets really complicated.
Yeah, and dangerous. You know, you got to have – I mean, it's like Indiana getting Siakam. Well, I mean, in other words, where the Kings maybe backed out on that deal, I don't know, but I understand it. If you couldn't get basically a promise that he'd be willing to re-sign, then why would you do it?
Yeah, totally.
And, I mean, I think Indiana got that, and, of course, Siakam really made him a significantly better team.
Yeah, I think so, too. And if you're looking at the players that are out there, I mean, Kyle Kuzma, for me, he does move the needle, mm-hmm. and his contract, for me, has always been the thing that stands out. I mean, he's just on a really, really good contract that if you're a team that's building something, you know, basically you just locked DeRozan in at 24, 25, 26, something like that, or 25, 24, 25, and 27, whatever the dollar amount is at the end of the day. So you know what you have there. And then you know that your big guys are going to make a certain amount of money. You know that you're going to have to pay Keegan Murray as well. You know that, but now you got this other tier here where, you know, a guy like Malik Monk is locked in. He's locked in for 4 years, and you know what he's going to make. The salary cap keeps going up, so getting another guy that is on a contract a little bit like Malik Monk's and Kyle Kuzma, it makes sense. Like, again, it's like 23.5, 21.5, 19.5. It's the like the Buddy Hield special that mm-hmm. we had here in Sacramento a couple of years ago. That seems like a really, really smart type of play, even if the player doesn't have the ceiling of some of the other guys.
No, I agree. I like Kuzma more than I did. You know, it's one of those guys that there's a couple things about it. I love the contract,
yes.
Number one. You know, I think he's kind of a ball stopper, so to speak, but in this offense, and I think that a lot of that would go away. But you know, he's still got the nice age, fits timeline wise, and you know, to me, and I know I'm too old school, but I like guys who are available to play.
Yes,
and he's been available to play, you know, like DeMar, as opposed to honestly Ingram and Markkanen miss a lot of games.
60 games a year, maybe 65.
Yeah. That's like OG Anunoby's terrific, but
yeah.
He plays 50 games a year, has for on average for 6 years or so.
Yeah, and you just paid him $215 million bucks or whatever it was.
And it's like, so, you know, I mean, it's, I just think, you know, when you've got a 5 or 6 year period to look at, there's a little bit of evidence there that these are guys who will try to get out there. And to the Kings' credit, they got a bunch of guys like that now, you know, whether it's Keegan and, of course, Harrison was like that, and Domas and Monk and Fox. If they can play, they'll play.
Yeah, that's what I appreciate that. The players that are willing to go out there and put it on the line for their teammates.
Yeah, play a little hurt. I mean, I understand, you know, nobody should put their careers at risk.
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea of a sore back or, you know, I mean, it's like, come
are
on.
Are you
like,
injured?
The flu-like symptoms or
gastroenteritis, that was the Kings.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, how many times did I have to look up how to spell gastroenteritis because somebody wasn't going to play?
Well, I mean, there's like, say, there's guys that I know just through the years, there's guys that find ways to play through some of those things as much as guys who look for reasons not to play. And if you can, you know, and you can't make them play, but if you find guys that you see guys that are looking for ways, you know, a little sore, a little tired, it's like, well, yeah, that's after game 10, everybody's sore and tired.
Yes. Yeah, I remember hearing a story about one NBA star level player who showed up one day and, oh, I forgot my shoes. I'm not going to play tonight.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have a whole closet full of shoes. Yeah. They're not, it's not the same.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean you're not going to play? Like, yeah, I'm not, I'm good tonight. I'm not playing. Like,
I always learned that from, you know, the Jazz with Stockton Malone, and where Stockton had a knee surgery, meniscus, and was missed 10 days.
Oh.
And then I always remember going in the locker room once Karl Malone was in there, and I looked at his ankle. I was, you know, I was friends with Jerry Sloan and him, and his big green ankle. I mean, it was swollen. And I said, you're not going to play. He said, you bet I'm going to play. I'm going to kick you guys' butts, too. And he did.
That's right. That's amazing. That's it's different. As we've gone along through the league, it's crazy to me how even like the Harrison Barnes and the DeMar DeRozans, they just come from a different age. Mm-hmm. And they're in their 30s, so it's like this 14 years that they've been in the league, like the way that things have changed and how players of, you know, that era, and it's still the same era, but how those guys just go, no, I'm playing 82 games. I mean, I know how much pride Harrison Barnes took in playing 82 games.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, again, availability is such a huge thing. So if you were Monty, what is the deal you would go chase? What is the one that you would be like, okay, if I can get this guy, I don't know if I can, but if I can get him, what is the deal that I would go chase?
Well, I mean, to me, if you could get Kuzma now, I mean, I think he might be the best guy you can get at this time. You know, a young contract fits, size fits, position, scorer on a team that can really score. You know, wouldn't fit your shot block and rim protection thing, but other than that, he'd be a good fit. And you know, if you could do obviously Kevin Herter might be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see, if I'm Washington, I don't know why, if I'm interested in moving Kuzma, make a lot of sense for them. You know, local guy that certainly, I think Kevin's got his. I still think he's got his best years ahead.
Yeah,
you know, he didn't have a good year last year, but he's a good player and he's played well in playoffs. You know, people are, and with his Atlanta, he had a lot of productive playoff games.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think at some point that we're going to see the Kevin Herter of 2 years ago be back on the court. Mm-hmm. Like last year, I feel like it was an anomaly. Like I think he got in his head early, and I think he got in his head at the three-point shootout the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I like Kevin Herter. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good dude. He doesn't have any, like, malintentions. He just had a season where the ball didn't go in the hoop, and, you know, next thing you know, he had a hitch in his shot, and, like, he would fight through it. You could see him. I watched him in warm-ups, and there's the hitch. And then all of a sudden you could see him, like, mentally lock in, like, don't do the hitch. Boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden, the hitch is back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I felt for him because, again, I think it's something that people don't really consider, but he's an East Coast guy. Mm-hmm. He grew up in New York, upstate New York. His family's there. His sisters play basketball. His dad's basketball. All these things, right? Like, he's a long ways away from home. And when things are going wrong and you don't have your support system around you, it becomes more and more difficult. And I know you can rely on your teammates and your buddies around you to kind of get you through it, but that doesn't always help. That's not always what you need. And I just feel like he probably, like, if you were to move him to the East Coast, probably would help him, get him closer to his family and all that stuff. But hey, look, if he's on this roster next year and he's your backup small forward or your backup shooting guard, I'm okay with that. He's still a good player.
He's a good player, and so I totally agree. I mean, like I say, to me, you'd move Kevin to get he's a quality player. He's an asset to get an asset to fit you better.
Yeah.
That's all.
And it's about fit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's about fit. It's about business, and, you know, and certainly to me, like I say, I agree with you. I mean, if he could get back to somewhere like Washington, well, he played at Maryland, and,
yeah,
you know, it'd be a real comfort zone because he was a really terrific career there. So, you know, those are the kind of things you would make. Of course, that's always the danger. I always say the trades that seem to make the most sense almost never happen. You know, it's like common sense isn't really common.
No, it's very true. Especially, I think a team like Washington, they're a little lost in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had the second pick in the draft. They brought in Alex Saar. But then they went out and signed Jonas Valanciunas, and they also added, they brought Rashawn Holmes back. Mm-hmm. And so you're just like, you're scratching your head a little bit. Like, what are we doing? You mm-hmm. trade Denny Avija, which doesn't make a lot of sense. When you bring in Malcolm Brogdon, and now, like, are you trying to win now? Are you not trying to win now? Or so you're always confused about what they're trying to do and what their path is forward. And you, like, from the outside, we're all like, well, why wouldn't you just take a pick? Well, like, why wouldn't you have taken the 13th pick for Kuzma? That would have made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And now you're to a point where, okay, like, how much are you willing to invest? How much, if you're the Kings, do you give up an unprotected pick? Do you not give up an unprotected pick? Do you want to give up one or two picks? Like, you have to make these decisions on the fly about, like, who you think you can be as a team. And I don't think any of it's easy.
Well, no, it isn't. And I do like the fact that, I mean, I think this front office, as well as ownership and all, they really want to win now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's any, these five-year plans. I mean, in the NBA, there's, you know, it makes no sense. I mean, the people who say five-year plan means that just let me keep working for 5 years. But I mean, I think with the money involved, and you see the quick turnovers of coaches, of players, of GMs, of everything, when you got these $3 and $4 billion franchises now, mm-hmm. the elite contracts. So, and the fan bases, I think to their credit, maybe a little more with a high cost of tickets and everything, a little more demanding. Saying, you know, okay, it's not just the thrill of going to a game now. We want to see a winning team.
I think it's interesting, too. Like, when you were a coach or a GM of this team, there was no social media. So a fan could come out on a Tuesday night and boo the team when they're playing the Jazz and Stockton Malone are destroying them. But then the next day, like, what? Are they going to... They gonna yell it into space and scream and yell at their at home and about how frustrated they are with the team? No. Now all of these fans have an outlet. They have all these mm-hmm. platforms that they can go to and like really. And if you're a franchise and you're out there crowdsourcing, that's probably the worst thing you can do. It's just to read all the negativity and all the comments that are coming back at you. I don't know. Like, how much different do you think it is to play today and to coach today and to be part of like that the basketball world today than it was like when you started in the NBA?
Well, it's just a totally different world, to be truthful. I mean, I don't think there's any similarities. You know, when I started, you know, you had one assistant coach, you know, you flew commercial,
yep.
You know, you didn't have a practice site, you know, you had one trainer, one equipment man. The PR person didn't even travel.
Oh, wow.
You know, those, it's just a different world. It's really, you know, kind of, it was major league, but minor league at that time. But everybody was pretty similar. You know, the Lakers and the Celtics were flying commercial too. And so people, I mean, I'll say, you just kind of forget that. I always say the one thing I knew too was that, you know, we'd stay at Holiday Inns and places like that. You know, it wasn't 4-star hotels and, you know, And so it's a different world. And I think our players spoiled. Well, they probably, but they probably should be, you know, they're the reason that they're the product.
Yeah.
And the product is good enough now that you've got owners in this league that are extremely rich. Not guys who could just barely get in and kind of buy the team type thing, you know, and things of that nature. Because I always say, when I got in the league, the salary cap was $12 million, and the team values were about $15 million or $20 million. So
yeah,
that's.
I think when the Kings sold to the Lucanville Group in the like 1984 in mm-hmm. Kansas City. It was $12 million.
Yeah, plus they assumed I think $3 million in debt.
Okay.
Because because I kind of knew the Kansas City ownership group, and they were even worse funded. You know, they were a bunch of guys like me and you, you know, about half a dozen guys like us that owned the team. You know,
just like hanging out, like own a team.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's like, oh, let's all invest $20,000 in it, and then see if, you know, and then of course you start losing money. It's like, ooh. We got to pay money to keep this thing going.
Yeah. So. What's crazy is that in less than 40 years, the team now is going to be, it'll probably come in around 3.2 to 3.5 billion.
Billion. With a B.
With a B. Even in 2013, when Vivek purchased a team, it was a valuation of $535 million. Mm-hmm. And it's, what, seven times what it's worth now?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, what an investment. And I always say that's what... I think it's always been the deal with owning a franchise. I don't think year to year they necessarily make a lot of money at mm-hmm. times, but the value of the franchise
skyrockets.
So it's kind of like buying a house. If you can pay the mortgage and everything and insurance and hold on to it for 10 years, generally speaking, you'll make some money.
Yeah, and I think the new television deal is going to upset that whole like balance as well. I think the new television deal is going to push this the valuations up over 500 billion. I think even like the Celtics going up for sale, they're talking about a valuation of $6 billion.
Yeah,
like $6 billion, like $5 billion. That's absolutely insane. It's just a totally different world.
It's kind of interesting, though, isn't it, when guys like Mark Cuban and Wick. The owner's name at Boston is trying to sell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, to me, those are guys that they're sharp guys. I know Cuban is. Don't always agree with him, but I mean, he's thinking, oh, okay. The getting out is good. I can still be part of it, and I can make a couple billion for my efforts.
Yeah, and I think for him, too, it's like, what can he invest in outside of basketball to even make more money?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's very good with that side of it and wants to always progress. All right, so we're down to our last couple of minutes here. We kind of know where the Kings are going. We kind of know what they've already accomplished. Like, where would you put them in the Western Conference today?
I think they've got a real good chance in the top six.
Okay.
I still think, you know, Minnesota, OKC, Minnesota, Dallas, Denver are four teams that be hard to see the Kings being better than them today.
Yep.
Now, New Orleans, I think... just because of their New Orleans and what's happened, excuse me, you'd probably put them. Now, I kind of like where they are compared to, you know, the Phoenix, Lakers, Warriors, you know, teams like that. But and then you just can't know enough about San Antonio, or I think Houston's going to be good. But, you know San Antonio's going to be better. You don't know how much better.
Yep. And I think the Clippers are going to fall apart a little bit, too.
Me, too. Yeah, I think they're going to win some games, but it's hard to see them as a 50 win team. I just don't see that.
Yeah, I feel like they're grasping at straws a little bit, mm-hmm. like with some of their signings and stuff. I don't like a lot of what they're doing, and it feels like a team that's desperate to try to hold on to something after losing Paul George, which I think is really weird. So you think they're 5-6? I think that's probably where I like right now. I put them at 5 or 6 with the mm-hmm. Pelicans. I like the DeJounte Murray thing a little bit. I don't love it.
Right.
But they don't have a center. They picked up Daniel Tice today, but they've got him and they've got a rookie. So their center position.
Yeah, that's been very surprising, hasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
for that team, I mean, to lose Larry Nance as well as Valanciunas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if they kept Larry Nance, he's a good player.
Yeah, it's all at least he can do some of the things you need for that
team.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of awkward.
So, kind of awkward now. I don't know. Maybe they got something else in the works. You know, we just, you know, you just don't know. But to me, that would be a concerning. But I'm like, yeah, I like DeJounte Murray, but I'm not sure he's quite as good as what he's supposed to be, you know, because he's just one of those guys that's really good, but he's considered like a high-level all-star, and I don't believe that's it.
Yeah. I would agree with you. I'm a little out on him, and I just don't know where he sort of ends up, and I don't know how much better he makes that team. And then you're wondering about what happens with the Ingram situation, mm-hmm. and you know it doesn't seem like they're able to get a center on the open market that you know to sort of fill the void. So maybe they do kind of panic here, and you know again maybe the Kings could get in on that. It would be very complicated for the Kings to get in just because of the salary. And the fact that you no longer have Harrison Barnes' contract to move. But I definitely think that they would at least go back and listen. So it should be an interesting couple of weeks here.
Well, I would like to see, you know, Ingram moved, and I'd like to see him go to the East. that would be, you know, the best thing. You know, I mean, I like his talent. I just don't like his availability and his contract demands type thing. That's really a concern to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the fact that you're going to have to pay him $40 million a year.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Scary going forward.
I think he's close to that, but you don't know.
I mean, his talent is that, but is his availability and
his ability to impact winning.
And impact winning, you know. Yeah. Is he a stat guy? I mean, I always say there's guys that can fill up the stat sheet, but I mean, I'm not all sure Paul George isn't kind of that.
No, at this point, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jerry, I think we've run out of time. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Well, it's always great, and had a good time. And I think Kings fans should be very, very encouraged here. Very encouraged, and see what Monty's done an outstanding job today. And I think maybe we'll see if he can pull off another one to say, go get somebody bigger. Bigger, Monty.
Put bigger and get them over the top. I think you want to climb into that top four in the Western Conference. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Insiders. Thanks for tuning in. Kyle Madsen is coming up in just a few minutes, filling in for D'Lo and Casey. Thanks for tuning in. We are The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.